You're listening to the Laugh Button Podcast on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the Laugh Button Podcast.
Heyo!
Oh, I was trying to go smooth and sultry this time.
Oh, hey, hi.
Yeah.
The Laugh Button, the After Dark Sounds
of the Laugh Button Podcast. I got Bram Teitelman with me once again. I'm Matt Kleinsch with the Editor-in-Chief of TheLaughButton.com. And like I said, Bram Teitelman, he's with me once again, the Editor-in-Chief of Metal Insider.
Yes, sir.
MetalInsider.net, which we determined last week is actually going to be our brother station, not our sister station.
Yeah, we bro down and out. We bro out and down. It's like a bro down and a bro out.
If you say so. So yeah, Bram is with me this week. Mark continues his sabbatical.
That's unfortunate.
Last I heard, he was hanging out with the Prime Minister of Malaysia.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a Zoolander joke. No? No? Got nothing?
No, I kind of think go back to, like, Malaysia, the gayest country in Asia. Little Todd Berry.
I think they were Asian. That is, like, hands down one of my favorite things. And I've actually talked about this before on the podcast. But before we get too deep, let's talk about things. TheLaughButton.com is where you can go to kind of get all this information. Check us out. We're on Riotcast.com. Our guest this week, Ryan Beck, comedian Ryan Beck. He's a New York City comic. We caught Ryan live a couple years back and, like, been a fan of his ever since. He was doing a showcase for his management company. And ever since then, I was like, oh, wow, this guy's great. So he's an up-and-coming guy. Definitely check him out. Definitely, you know, find him and see him when you can. He's a great dude. So we're going to talk to him a little bit. He's got some about what projects he's got going on, a couple web series and all that kind of good stuff. But first, the news, buddy.
Yeah, what do we got?
Hey, how's your news? Well, first thing that happened this week, Rosie O'Donnell did not play Steve Bannon on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So any money we put on that was good. But they did still do some fun subversive stuff.
We got to see Jeff Sessions.
We did see Jeff Sessions. And they got, like, almost every female character on the show to portray a character as well. So they kind of did what they did the subversive part. They just didn't do it how we expected it to happen. So fun times.
And got their highest ratings in 6 years. So yeah,
dude, it's crazy. It's crazy. So,
everyone wins.
Yeah. So crazy stuff's going on this week. Happy Valentine's Day. Did you spend Valentine's Day with the person you love?
I went to Taco Bell. Does that count?
Sure, if it's with the person you love.
I loved it.
Dude, I did Valentine's Day at White Castle with my wife.
That's kind of your thing, right? You've done that more than 1 year.
They've been doing it at White Castle, I want to say, for the last 5 years or so. And the last 3 years, I've gone with my wife. Now, I mentioned it to my wife one time, and she thought it was just the funniest thing ever. And I got to say, there was a new one. Funny enough, a new White Castle opened near our house.
Oh.
So we went to the new one, and this one was funner than the last one. But it's fun because, like, they kind of try. You know, they'll set up a table and some candles, and they'll like throw down like a tablecloth.
That's sweet.
And all the people that work there. But it's also fun too, because, like, you go there and, like, there's actually a very big mix of people. It's a lot of it's hipsters. When we first started going, it's very hipstery. But, you know, there was, like, an old guy there hanging out with his wife, and it was like, oh, that's kind of fun. And it's bring your own beer, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you grabbed just a handful of your friends and went, and you could just have a good time for a solid hour or two, and you could still go do something afterward if you wanted.
I've been bringing my own beer to White Castle for years. I didn't know it was allowed. I actually have some, you know, as an eternally single gentleman, I have some advice for you. Take your wife to a different castle next year, maybe medieval times.
But you know what? We could do that. She likes it. She finds it funny. She thinks it's a good time. And, you know, not that we don't like, you know, romantic stuff, but I think there was a time where we were almost trying too hard to, like, okay, we have to do something for Valentine's Day. We have to do this. We have to book a reservation at this room. And what we found is a lot of these restaurants, particularly in the area we live in, they'll, like, double and triple down their sizes of their restaurants at night. They'll add more tables. And all of a sudden, you're, like, crammed in like cattle trying to get a table for, like, this day that where it's, like, it's just this arbitrarily day.
Like New Year's Eve, I guess.
It is. It's very New Year's Eve-y. So, you know, and if Valentine's Day fell on a weekday this year. So, like, we literally just, like, oh, our reservation's at 9 o'clock, went to White Castle. And we hung out there for like 45 minutes, listened to some music, and just kind of talked to bullshit, and it was fun. And
what kind of music did they play?
They're just like, you know, the regular old Muzak channel or whatever they play. So I definitely recommend doing it, especially if like you're not really big into like the whole Valentine's Day thing. It's a fun thing to do with people you love. And again, you can get a group of people, grab a case of beer, and go and have a good time for an hour or two.
So. Or propose to the one you love by putting a chicken ring on it.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But I did read somewhere that, and they were, that, you know, because they have all the statistics when you're like registering, because you got to sign up and reserve a time slot. And they were doing things like 150 couples have had weddings at White Castle. I don't know if I'd have a wedding at White Castle.
How many divorces have you think have been had there?
How many relationships have ended at White Castle? Probably way more than that.
So anyway, yeah, SNL. So, and
well, I wasn't going there, but yeah, I just want to touch base because you know it's Valentine's Day. Sure. So on the Valentine's Day front, a lot of fun things happened. You know, the last couple days. Last night at midnight had a live proposal because they've been doing live all week. That was kind of fun. But actually, I want to kind of get in some other things though beyond just the Valentine's. We're not going to do
things happen.
We're not going to do a Valentine's Day theme, but yeah, a ton of stuff happened. The Grammys happened this week.
How about that? Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt won. I'm not really surprised that he won, particularly because this is the special that Patton Oswalt taped and basically released the day he found out his wife died. I can't imagine, dude.
Grammy loves a story. They do. And he's an amazing comic anyway, and that just added to it.
100%. I mean, this definitely helped the story. He also won an Emmy for the video version of the special, like the Netflix version of the special, and then it was released on a Special Thing Records, and they won a Grammy for that too. So I really do feel like it was kind of, I don't want to say everyone came out and kind of showed their support for Patton by picking him for this. It really was a great special. I mean, like you can listen to any Patton Oswalt special, and like, you know, you're definitely going to get some of the best comedy out there. But this one kind of was his. It was kind of his, and I feel like a lot of people thought it was his from the beginning, from the jump. So.
Yeah, he's kind of a lock almost.
Yeah,
anytime he releases anything, let alone a tragedy that led up to the release of it.
And the Grammys have always kind of loved. They love perennial type of artists. Like there was a while where Kathy Griffin was winning like every Grammy for a comedy release. It was like what. And it was just like literally audio releases of like her special she did on Bravo.
Yeah, after they fucked up with Metallica, like Metallica was nominated for something every year.
Yeah,
like
dude,
song on a soundtrack, check. Song off a Motorhead cover, like still won a Grammy. Like they just kept winning.
Yeah.
They lost on Sunday though, in more ways than one.
And you as someone that runs a metal site, you know, you obviously very much have covered these topics, but like what's going on? I feel like rock music or in hard rock music in particular, like the Grammys have never seemed to have gotten it right.
They've hated metal and hard rock.
Do you feel like it's a conscious decision? Like I feel like for example, like the Metallica snafu this weekend was James Hetfield's mic wasn't working.
Right.
Like, is that their fault?
I don't think it was intentional. I just think that if you're producing a 3-hour award show that has to appeal to as many people as possible, of course, metal's going to get the shaft every year, and that's fine, I guess, to a degree, because it's not like a metal award show.
No.
But I kind of thought that the Metallica Lady Gaga thing went off pretty well, except for that whole microphone fuck-up.
Microphone check 1-2, what is this?
Yeah.
The 5-foot assassin happened. With the roughneck business. A little bit of Fife Dog would have just solved it all.
Sure.
I was actually reading an interesting article about how the decline of rock and roll kind of can be mapped to like 1991 for the Grammys. Like they literally pointed out the year that like that kind of started the shift.
They just said mainly that was because of SoundScan though. So
yeah, but think about it. If you're running a show where you're trying to maximize eyeballs and you give away 80 some awards and 70 of them are given away before the extra Grammys, you actually end up giving away like 10, 15 on air. You're going to give away the ones that have that reach quote unquote max audience potential.
Sure.
And since SoundScans basically started leaning more pop after 91, they started like basically just kind of catering to that audience. But which is funny because the rock audience used to be best rock performance male, best rock performance female, rock performance by a duo or ensemble. Like there used to be like single awards dividing all these subgenres for rock that just don't exist anymore.
Here's the thing, though. People still buy rock and metal.
I think so, too.
They still buy, like, physically buy it.
They do, but, I mean, I guess, I mean, it's tough because like I get pop music and you want to have your Beyoncés and your Jay-Z's and all these big name stars show up because people will tune in for
or ratings. People that aren't married to each other.
Or people will tune in, well, but people will tune in for ratings, you know.
Sure.
And I don't know. I just
Beyonce
think
Beyonce took a nap for 10 minutes. That's no. What I saw anyway. No offense, Beyonce lovers.
But the thing is also...
Stay away from me, beehive.
The beehive. But the thing is also, I don't think you're ever going to make everyone happy. I mean, Beyonce, there, half the people were like, Beyonce should have won Album of the Year, and the other half were like, no, Adele like is like argumentatively sold more records and is a better singer. Like, you know, there's all these arguments that go against that type of stuff. So, I don't know. Like, the thing with all this stuff, comedy... music, art, it's all subjective.
Sure.
You know, what turns you on does not turn me on and vice versa.
Yeah, but, you know, if you look at just sales, which is not the metric you should judge it by, no. Adele sold 10 million copies of an album. That doesn't happen ever.
Not in this day and age.
Beyonce's maybe sold 1.5. I don't know.
I don't know what Beyonce
I don't know
sold.
Either, but,
I don't really know.
You know, if you're just going by popularity contest, sure. Like, I hadn't. And again, this is nothing against Beyonce. I have no problems with her, but
yeah.
Because the album's been streaming on YouTube, and I would have had to actually buy it to listen to it, or be an Apple Music subscriber, and I'm a Spotify guy.
Or Tidal. Wasn't it only on Tidal?
It was on Tidal, too. Yeah, but like, I hadn't heard the album. So like, those two songs that she did, I was like, what's happening? Am I watching yoga happen?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too.
It was very confusing to me. And, you know, I like her music. To a degree, and I like all kinds of music, but you know, I'm pretty much stereotypical of the people that just don't necessarily understand stuff. And Adele is like, everyone knows Hello. You heard that song.
That
everywhere.
Song was everywhere. It was everywhere the day it came out.
Yeah,
and Beyonce and first of all, I don't think Beyonce really performed. I mean, and I don't want to harp on Beyonce because this is a comedy podcast. You know, we're talking about Beyonce more this week, which is funny because Britney was on last week and she's like the foremost expert on Beyonce. She probably would have loved this conversation, but she's not here today. So it's kind of funny. But I don't know, man. I just feel like. Comedians always get the shaft, but how do you have the comedians perform at the Grammys? That makes total no sense at all.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, like, I do think that there are subgenres within comedy. Like, Patton Oswalt, you know, you can almost empirically find the reason that Patton Oswalt shouldn't be against, like a Larry the Cable Guy or whatever. There are different genres within the style of comedy. The question is, are those genres enough to differentiate for the average listener? You know, like, because you and I know a lot about comedy because we kind of live and absorb it all day long. But,
sure.
Like, does the average person understand that blue collar comedy is quintessentially different than, like, alternative comedy? Or club comedy has a different vibe than, say, absurdist comedy or anything like that?
No, they just know what makes them laugh.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So I don't know, but congrats to Patton anyway for winning the Comedy Grammy.
Good job.
Congrats, Patton. Number one, good job. High fives to you. Also, what happened this week, which I thought was crazy to think about it, Wayne's World. The movie Wayne's World turned 25, dude.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it is.
I remember seeing it in the theater.
Yeah, I did. I did too. And like, I mean, I didn't realize I was as old as I was when it first came out. And but 25. I mean, like that movie, like kind of like really was a watershed moment for a lot of people in that age range. And Penelope Spheeris was actually the director of it, and she directed, as you know, Decline of Western Civilization.
A classic.
Yeah, which is a classic, and that's kind of how that kind of that. She kind of broke into all that stuff, and it's unbelievable. And like, you know, I feel like the movie's been tread over many, many times, and people were talking about, you know, how Mike Myers didn't get along with Penelope, and one of the most infamous scenes from that movie is when they're all headbanging to the Bohemian Rhapsody in the car.
Sure, yep.
And that was a scene where Mike Myers didn't get it. He didn't think it was going to be funny. The director, Penelope, was like, no, this is going to be the best. So Mike Myers is actually being kind of difficult, and he's actually been known to be a little difficult on set. So I think it's interesting that she kind of pushed him into doing that, and it's now like one of the things you remember about that movie the most.
Yeah, definitely. I think if there's one scene, it's definitely that. And I mean, is it the most successful SNL? Well, maybe. Yeah,
maybe. It might be.
Probably the most successful SNL.
I mean, what else
adaptation?
Is out there? What else? What other adaptations are out there? I mean, but the other thing about Wayne, I mean, there's what? There's
Ladies Man.
There's it's Pat. It's Pat, Coneheads. Yeah. Night at the Roxbury. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, there's been plenty more.
Blues Brothers doesn't count, right?
No, the Blues Brothers counts. That started on SNL. So I would say either, but I think financially it definitely was Wayne's World. I mean, Wayne's World did so well, they pushed a sequel out in like a year's time. Like, the sequel came super fast.
Think it was 2 years. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think it was even sooner than that, if I recall. I know that Penelope and Mike Myers didn't get along so well, she actually didn't direct a sequel, believe it or not. But it is also one of those things, too, where you're watching that movie and you didn't realize it at the time. That movie was quintessential Mike Myers writing style joke structure, because like that structure pretty much was translated into all of his other movies. It was translated into all the Austin Powers flicks, which was translated into like all of his other ones too, like The Love Guru and all those types of movies done since then that he's written, at least.
Yeah, I forgot to watch The Love Guru.
You didn't miss much.
That's what I hear.
But it's so funny that was like peak Mike Myers. Like, you're like, oh, that's how Mike Myers writes a joke, and that's a really good joke. So yeah, Wayne's World 25. It's unbelievable. I mean, and that was a movie that was, man, I can't tell you how much that movie went to me as a kid. You know, it was one of those things I just watched constantly. I mean, just because like I was at that age, and at that age, it was like when you're 12, 13, 14, 15, that age, those formative years, as they say, like that's when you see your funniest movies. That's when like your favorite bands come out. Like all that stuff just sticks with you for so long.
Yeah, and those albums and movies, you don't take them in once. You memorize dialogue, you learn every lyric.
Mm-hmm. Especially then. I don't know.
Liner notes.
Do you think that happens in this day and age now? Like with the influx of like streaming audio and all that kind of stuff?
Yes. And, like, look at streaming numbers for like Drake, for example.
Yeah,
it's people listening to it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm glad that still happens, because like it's one of those things where like I loved buying a CD or a movie on VHS and just like opening it up, reading liner notes, seeing what this lyric meant, or like, oh, what is that lyric? And I go to refer to the liner notes. Like, you know, I just remember being a real big fan of that kind of stuff. And that's actually how I start. Like, my favorite music is not only is it music that catchy, but I love lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm not really sure. I would have to talk to a 12-year-old. And last time I tried that, they kicked me out of the school. No, but I really don't know if people listen to albums over and over again and get obsessive and go into like a, you know, go into a rabbit hole of like, hey, what else does this artist put out? Who are they related to?
Yeah.
But everything's on the internet, so it's just as easy to do that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember like...
It's easier. We had to actually do research.
Or go buy the CD, or you wouldn't know how so-and-so is connected or related. I mean, now you can become an expert in something over the course of a weekend by reading Wikipedia and doing a couple search. And Patton Oswalt, to go back to him, he wrote an op-ed editorial for, I think it was Wired back in the day, about how geek culture is being ruined by the internet, because, you know, you didn't know. You had to actually watch a show. You couldn't binge watch it and become an expert over the weekend. You actually had to watch it, digest it, talk about it with your friends, wait to see what happened the next week. And that's kind of gone.
It's the same with music. You used to have to go to like a record fair to pick up like a rare 7-inch from the UK or something like that.
You had to go crate diving.
Everything.
And Pete Holmes has a great joke about like Tom Petty, where he actually says something to the effect of like, you know, some of these questions like, where was Tom Petty from? You just didn't know. And you would ask friends and you would ask people. And then one day you'd meet a girl and she would tell you he's from Florida and that's who you married. So, you know, I do hope that there is that form of like finding and becoming fans of stuff in 2017 as there was when we were kids. Because movies, I mean, dude, the first Ghostbusters movie, my grandfather had it on VHS, and me and my brothers would go to my grandfather's house twice a week to hang out with him when my parents went and probably just didn't want to deal with three young boys at the time. And we just watched Ghostbusters all the time. And I watched that movie twice a week for an entire summer, you know?
1986 was License to Ill over and over again and the Breakfast Club after every soccer practice.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's like, just like...
Literally. Burned into my mind.
I know. And there's a movie called Airborne. I don't know if you remember this movie. It starred Jack Black, a young Jack Black, and a young Seth Green. They were like these tertiary characters. It was about this kid who went from L.A. to Cleveland to live with his cousins while his parents like went to Australia.
Right.
It's a terrible movie. It's actually so bad, they just recently covered on How Did This Get Made. Like, it was like one of those, like, ooh, the podcast How Did This Get Made with Paul Scheer and all those guys. So basically, this movie was terrible. It was about like you don't really know what it's about. It's about like a surfer kid. He's also a skateboarder. I'm sorry, not a skateboarder, but a rollerblader. But he's also like, he's like this very like zen type of qualities about him. But I watched this movie. I want to say after school, we would play hockey at my friend Frank's house, and then we'd watch this fucking movie at least twice a week.
Never even heard of it.
I don't know why we watch this movie. It does not hold up. There is nothing redeeming about this movie other than Seth Green and Jack Black were in this movie, but like I wouldn't put it past those guys for it not to appear in their IMDb pages. It was so bad, but like since we played hockey and roller skated ourselves and played roller, it was like just something we watched. So like,
okay.
It's unbelievable how these fucking things kind of permeate through your life. And a movie like Wayne's World. Speaking of things that also permeate, look at me with the fucking killer transition, buddy.
It's not a killer transition if you have to say look at this killer transition. Also, you didn't say permeate correctly, but go ahead. I'm listening. Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, so the nostalgia train rolls on because this week, Beavis and Butthead, the complete collection was released, and I got my hands on an advanced copy of this, and I was a huge Beavis and Butthead fan as a kid, and one of my favorite parts about it is when there's a Pantera video, and there's always Pantera videos like, you know, like I'm Broken would come on, and it'd just be Beavis and Butthead going like yes, and they turn it all the way up where they're screaming at each other to talk about Pantera because they turned up, they're like, can this TV go any louder? But there's another one, which is, what was the Pantera song?
This Love.
This Love, thank you. Where they're basically like...
Speaking of, that album turns 25 as well.
No shit.
In, next Saturday.
That's crazy.
Vulgar Display of Power. You're old. You're all old.
We're all old. Man, Vulgar Display of Power. I remember... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep. Anyway, This Love.
So video. This Love, they're playing This Love, and Beavis and Butthead are going, you know, they're like, you think Pantera was like, you know, beaten as a child? This beer... And they're like, yeah, his dad was probably like, this beer is warm, Pantera. Pantera, give me another one. Don't you disrespect your stepmom like that, Pantera. Seth's become this gag in this office.
The best, man. I mean,
give me a beer, Pantera.
The plots were pretty great usually, yeah. But the videos were amazing because I literally found myself identifying with them.
Oh,
I'm like,
course.
That is brilliant commentary, not just on MTV, but like on a culture and. They said smarter things than they were given credit for, thanks to the writing staff.
They really, really did. It's unbelievable how, like, you know, some of the stuff they talked about was just kind of so on the nose about it. And so this complete collection came out, which actually, believe it or not that complete a collection, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
There
are some videos on there, so that's cool.
There are some videos, but, like, here's the problem. Back in you're talking about in the early 90s when this came out, they were licensed to be played on music television, but... No one ever thought that the DVD home collection stuff was going to be a thing. So, like, they didn't even bother to get those licenses. And retroactively, half those licenses, they're not going to approve it because those guys were just making fun of these bands, too.
Yeah, I think if my band got shit on, I wouldn't be like, okay.
Yeah, but if
you're... maybe if you make money from it.
Yeah, but if you're a band that no one's talked about in 20 years, like, you're like, you got to have a sense of humor about yourself. Like... I remember watching videos that definitely didn't show up on this complete collection. Like, there's Sold My Fortune by, was it Sugar Tooth? Or
yeah.
I remember that song so vividly of them talking about it and singing Sold My Fortune. But that's a band that I would never have learned about had I not watched Beavis and Butthead. And they obviously didn't clear it for rights because it's not on this complete collection. You know,
I just remember Grim Reaper, See You in Hell. They played the hell out of that, and no pun intended. And the singer's like this guy, Steve Grimm, and he's like this really like short. He's not a pretty gentleman.
Yeah.
And I just remember them being like,
I know. It's just, it's just so unfortunate that they don't have all that stuff. The other thing that the complete collection is missing, unfortunately, it doesn't have every episode. Because there, from what I gathered, and I did some research on this because, you know, I wanted to be prepared for this podcast.
Oh, so is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, so I did some research. But apparently the reason that we will probably never see a complete collection in our lifetime is because Mike Judge didn't like some of the early episodes. And if you watch back, if you find them somewhere, I'm sure they're online somewhere, wherever... Those early episodes, Beavis and Butthead weren't two buffoons. They were kind of dicks.
Yeah.
Like like they played frog baseball and there was all that, and they lit shit on fire. And Beavis actually smoked. There was actually some cutaways of Beavis trying to light a cigarette. And
I remember that.
And apparently, after like a lot of shit happened with the characters, Mike Judge just didn't really wasn't really a fan of those. So like we'll never see those early episodes, unfortunately, on a collection like this. This complete collection is literally a collection of everything that's ever been released all under one spot, including the resurrected season that came out a couple of years ago, and Beavis and Butthead Do America, and basically all the clearances that they got for music videos. But there's like an episode where they watch David Letterman, and there's a little bit of David Letterman audio that's never been cleared, so that's not going to be on there. The infamous Comedians episode, where they visit a comedy club and burn it down, is apparently the episode that was the impetus for the rumored kid that set his trailer park on fire.
Of course,
the
kid never watched Beavis and Butthead.
And that's what the wording is, that they're not sure if this kid ever watched Beavis and Butthead, but yeah, because Beavis and Butthead burned
said fire all the time.
Exactly. So like, you know, there's a lot of really, I don't think we're ever going to get a complete collection of Beavis and Butthead in our lifetime, unfortunately.
I remember one of the best things that after Fire was banned, they found some, there was an episode where Beavis found some wire and he's like, wire. It's a little callback to band stuff.
It's just, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like Beavis and Butthead, they were just like, they were the perfect thumb in the age of idiocracy or whatever you want to say.
Idiocracy was a film he made afterwards.
It was another Mike Judge film. Yeah. And that was
I would say idiocy.
Idiocy. But it's unfortunate, but if you do want everything that Beavis and Butthead was ever put out, released for home video, you'll find it in this collection that just came out this week. It is unfortunate that you don't get the whole thing. Because I do feel like the people that would be into that would be people like you and I who know the difference because we're adults at this point.
Sure.
It's unfortunate, but I don't think we'll ever see the whole thing. But props to Mike Judge and Viacom for putting out the complete collection. And speaking of which, we do an unboxing of the complete collection on our website. So go to the website. There's a video. Click on the video. We basically break apart all the packaging for you, so you can check that out. It's a really quick video. So
cool.
And the last thing, I want to touch on is Rolling Stone just re-released its 50 greatest comedians list. I don't know if you got a chance.
They re-released it.
Basically, they updated it. You know, like some people moved positions.
So it's remastered, basically.
Yeah, some people added to the list. For example, they added Tig Notaro to the list. Reggie Watts got added to the list. Some people moved directions. I feel like Bill Cosby fell a few points in light of Bill Cosby's
scandal.
But
he's still top 10. I noticed
he's number 10. 8. Well, yeah. I also think, and Matthew Love, who used to write for Time Out New York, actually put together the list for Rolling Stone. Great dude. He mentions it and kind of addresses it in the write-up on Cosby's, basically saying, like, listen, yes, Cosby did terrible shit, but you can't erase him from the history of comedy, unfortunately.
So he addressed the elephant in the roofie? In the room, I'm sorry. I don't... What?
You got bad jokes.
I never said they were good. One thing I find is interesting is that there aren't, like, the top five are mostly dead already. Like, I think.
Well, it's Pryor, Carlin.
Yep.
Who else was in there? Lenny Bruce was in there. Louis was number four. He was the first living guy. Pryor and Carlin were the top two. I'm pulling up the list right now. Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Lenny Bruce, Louis C.K., Chris Rock. So you got Rock and C.K. But I would say, dude, if you were to make a fucking Mount Rushmore of comedians, Pryor and Carlin are on it, no doubt about it. And you probably argue about the remaining two to put on there. I think Bill Hicks belongs on there. I think Lenny Bruce belongs on there, too. Yeah, Bill Hicks didn't even make the top 10, which I think is kind of crazy. He was number 13.
Yeah.
They also put, like, Chappelle is number 9. And Chappelle is, I mean, Louis C.K. is a very funny guy. Chris Rock, very funny guy. But I feel like the way Chappelle's brain just works is completely different than those dudes. His mom was like a teacher and a scholar, and his dad was a really well-educated man too. So like, I feel like Dave Chappelle just kind of grew up with a completely different comedy brain than those guys. Chappelle's also one of those guys that literally started doing comedy when he was like a young teenager, a la Eddie Murphy, a la Bill Hicks. Those guys were like 13, 14 when they found their calling, and they were just like, yeah. So I feel like Chappelle, I feel like when you watch Dave Chappelle, he just operates on a different plane than some other guys too. So I think Dave Chappelle should personally be higher on the list. I also think Bill Hicks should be higher on the list, but I think that's the whole point of these lists is...
Yeah, to get people like us to argue about
it. Is the debate. I mean, Robin Williams came in at number 12, and Robin Williams is a genius, but I don't know about stand-up. You know,
wasn't he a notorious joke thief as
that's
well?
That's the other thing, too, is he definitely got accused by a lot of people for being a joke thief. So many people think of him as a joke thief. And, you know, you can make your argument however you want about joke thieves. But, like, it's just interesting that some of the names that made this list, that I was like, oh, interesting. Like, for example, Billy Connolly made the top 20, which kind of surprised me. Don Rickles is 23. Don Rickles, to me, is like a top 10 guy. Rodney Dangerfield, Red Fox, Robert Klein, Dick Gregory, all great names. And again, you're just arguing the location. It's like you're just kind of moving pieces on the puzzle board that everyone just kind of belongs on anyway.
Yeah. So.
But Wanda Sykes made it up there, top 50. Freddie Prinze, Reggie Watts made it up there. Like, and I love Reggie, but Reggie isn't a typical stand-up either.
No.
So it's interesting to see it. Amy Schumer's on the list. Tig Notaro's now on the list too. So it's interesting to see. Patrice O'Neill was on the list. Patton Oswalt's on the list. Sam Kinison, Moms Mabley, Gary Shandling, Bernie Mac, Phyllis Diller, Joan Rivers, Sarah Silverman's on the list, Jeannie Garofalo. So it's just interesting to see how this list kind of all shakes up, but I'm glad that you made this list. And I think with everything in comedy, some people become in vogue, some people become out of vogue. Bill Hicks never really got the respect that he deserved
while
he was alive until after he died, and then he kind of got this weird cult following overseas. So it's interesting to see the list and run it down, and you and I could probably sit here and debate this list all day long. But
let's do it.
No, let's not do it.
Okay.
But what we should do is we should throw this interview to Mark, who's interviewing Ryan Beck, comedian Ryan Beck. So let's start right now. We got Ryan Beck here on the Laugh Button Podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, hanging out with Ryan Beck right now on the Laugh Button Podcast. It's good to see you, sir.
And, good to see you.
We've never formally met. We've indirectly met. And
here we are.
Yeah, and here we are. And it's always a weird thing when you interact with someone on such a personal relationship, in a personal way, is like having their phone number. You know, because like having someone's phone number,
like, texting is personal?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's
if you know where I live, you now have my address, my phone number.
Oh, that's a great point.
My name.
I wanted to do, I'm getting into, writing letters. I really like writing letters and, the hand. I think it's great.
You got, a quill pen set? Are you going
no,
in deep?
No, just regular pens.
Okay.
You know, those are much easier. You click them and stuff. So it's not as messy. But I wanted I was, trying to look at, should I get, a P.O. box or something? Because I wanted to, write letters to people that you meet on the road or whatever, come to your shows and stuff. And I was like, okay, great. I could be the pen pal. I could do pen pal stuff. But then I was like, they're not going to want me to know where they live, and I don't want to tell them my home address, you know? And so there's that whole thing. So I don't know. Maybe.
Got to get the P.O. box, man.
Get it. Yeah, I guess.
Get the P.O. box. They're pretty cheap. They're cheap. I mean, they're you can get them for $10 or something a month. But, and then you can also run businesses and, you send all the stuff there. And if you want to claim bankruptcy and all that good stuff.
Maybe I should buy all the P.O. boxes and then sell those as my business, you know?
Sure.
That's probably wildly illegal.
Is that, there's got to be a company called P.O. Box.
The United States Post Office.
No, I mean separate from that. That's just a generic term. That's just post office box. I'm talking actually coining P.O. Box. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like mailboxes, et cetera. You know what I mean?
We got to get the Shark Tank immediately. We got to pitch the sharks.
Who do you want? Who do you want backing us? Who is the go-to guy for this?
Mr.
Wonderful?
He's great. I do like him a lot.
Because he's kind of he's a dick, but in a good way.
When did you start watching Shark Tank?
Day one.
Really?
Yeah.
But is it with your wife?
Yeah, through Hulu. Now it's after we're out of episodes of The Bachelor, the Shark Tank automatically just comes on.
This is how my TV life has gone, too. As soon as I started living with my girlfriend, all of a sudden, no one knows who decided to watch these shows, but we watch Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching The Bachelor.
Right.
We're watching The Prophet with Marcus Lemonis.
Oh,
watch that one?
CNBC show?
I mean, I don't know what's happened, but it's just I'm eating vegetables and shit, and I'm I can't. I'm just so domesticated. I don't know where Shark Tank came from, but it's the greatest show ever now, and I can't stop.
You can't stop.
You? There's so many scrub daddies in my house, you have no idea. That's what I got for Christmas.
Wait, hold on. So you follow through.
I got the products. We were talking about getting that toilet bowl that lights up. We were talking about getting that.
And yeah, I didn't even get to say it, and you already knew where I was.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you said, I caught the first syllable. I know what's up. But I can't justify spending like $20 on something and then just like peeing at it.
Right, right.
You know, I don't want to.
Right. Usually it costs more than that, right?
I got so excited for Christmas, and most of the things that I got were from her mother, and they were cleaning supplies. And I don't know what happened to me. I used to be, maybe I was never fun. It's possible. It's possible that that's the case. I was never fun, and I was only looking forward to the moment I get to clean other people's stuff up. I don't know.
Ryan, what's your favorite as seen on TV item that maybe no longer exists, didn't make the cut,
but
you own it? Like, for instance, my wife, this is how awesome my wife is about this crap too, yeah. Right? I really got into that earwax gun, like where it sucks the earwax.
Like a candling thing?
No, yeah. I'm trying to remember what it was called.
I got so much earwax.
I mean, too, man.
Dude, it's gross. It's so gross. I'll go like one day and then it'll just be like a brown, it'll look like bacon grease. It's so gross.
It's like cleaning out one of those, grease traps.
Or like after like a rainstorm, like a gutter, you know? It's like that. Gutter head.
Why do I feel like I could throw anything at you and you've got a bit about it?
I don't have a bit. These aren't bits.
I'm just hanging.
Very gross.
We're just hanging.
Very gross and I'm always cleaning things.
All right, it's all coming together here. I'm painting the picture. No, it was this, oh shit, I can't remember what it was called, but it was literally like, it looked like a gun, but it was a vacuum for your ear. And the way they show it on TV too, it's like
terrifying.
First of all, you're like, oh my God, I can relate, you know, through the animated picture because
the
there was so much, there's so much shit in there. And it would like suck it out. And I was like, oh my God, I got to get that.
Yeah.
I got to get that thing. So my wife went to Bed Bath & Beyond and she was like, where is this thing? I need this thing. I got to get this thing. And they're like, we don't have any more. He's like, yeah, you do. Because my wife's like, she's a production manager. She's a fuck around. Like if she wants, she's going to
find it.
She's going to get it. She made the guy go to like the computer where they find out if there's any in stock, you know, based on how many UPC codes are scanned and shit like that.
Oh, jeez.
And he's like, oh, yeah, it does. It looks like we have one. It looks like we have one in house.
And she got it.
And she's like, yeah, she's like, you're getting that for me. He checks everywhere. He checks the floor. He checks the back stock. He checks. He's like, I'm sorry, man, but if it says there's one.
Probably stolen.
It was like a two, right. It was like a 2-hour escapade. Finally, they found it. It had fell between shelving. You know, it was behind two, you know, things of shelving. Anyway, she got it.
Does it work?
No, of course not. It sits underneath the sink in a plastic bag.
It's in between shelving. It's just back where it belongs.
It went right back to where it came from.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
But,
I wouldn't want to suck anything out of my ears. I think I like drastically overestimate how much earwax I have. I mean, it's a lot and it's very gross.
Right.
But also would be like, if it wasn't like 6 ounces something come out of my head, I wouldn't be satisfied.
In fact,
just keep going with it.
When you go to get on your flight, they stop you because it's above 3 ounces.
Yeah.
They're like, excuse me, sir.
But gross stuff you have in your head.
Oh, man. So Ryan, you've been in New York City for how long now? How many years? How long have you been attained?
July 2010.
Oh, 2010. Okay. So that's a hearty amount. You've crossed the 5-year threshold.
Yeah.
You've made the decision to stay.
Yes, I have. And I think 5 years is like a big thing for that. And I would say that like I had this revelation like a few months ago where I finally feel like, you know, you moved from what, Cleveland, you said?
Yeah,
Cleveland
area. I've been in 9 states, yeah.
Sure. So I don't know. Maybe, I guess you can understand, but like you have this like split identity kind of thing where you're like, oh, I'm like a St. Louis guy. I'm a Midwest guy. Mm-hmm. I'm also like living in New York. And so now, this was just a few months back, I feel like a more whole person. I'm like, okay, I'm a New Yorker who came from here, I am like a guy now. You know, I know who I am.
Yeah, I totally get it. In fact, I think next year will be the year where I've been here longer than anywhere else, including like where I was born, my childhood,
so
the whole thing.
You get it. Now this
is
who
this
is. You're settling into who you're supposed to be.
Yeah. So when someone asks, like, where are you from? I say New York now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say Ohio anymore.
Right. Unless you're in New York and then they ask you.
Right.
Then it's a whole story.
Yeah, that's a whole story. All right. So St. Louis. A lot of great things from St. Louis.
A lot of great things.
And a lot of comedy too.
Yeah,
a lot of comedy from St.
Great
Louis.
Comics.
I feel like the Kathleen Madigan is from St. Louis.
Yeah, Greg Warren.
Yeah, Greg Warren, the Sklar Brothers.
Sklar Brothers, Nikki Glaser, Tommy Jonigan.
MC Mr. Napkins.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who that is?
Who's Mr. Napkins?
So Mr. Napkins, Zach Selwyn. Do you know Zach Selwyn?
Maybe not.
So he's friends with Mike Kaplan.
I know Mike.
Okay, so if you know Mike, then you know Zach indirectly. So he is he's amazing. So he put out all these like incredible.
Wait, he's a white rapper?
Yeah, white
I
rapper.
I know who this guy is.
Yeah, Okay.
Yeah, I know who this guy is.
Yeah, yeah. So he got that name because Nelly from St. Louis saw him freestyling like on a corner one time. He goes, "Whoa, man, you're cleaning up like napkins, man. MC Mr. Napkins." And that was it. And it stuck.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
That is crazy. But everyone has a Nelly story from St. Louis.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because
every single person.
So what's your Nelly story?
My Nelly story is I'm just Nelly adjacent because every kid that I went to middle school was somehow related to him. I never like made the leap of like trying to figure out how it was, but like right. every single kid would just be like, he came out in Country Grammar and it was everybody had like, oh, my cousin fixes his radio in his car. And sure. it's just like everyone has like a relation to Nelly.
That's usually saved for like smaller towns. You know what I yeah. mean? But like, because I think of St. Louis as a major city.
Yeah, but it's also like wildly segregated, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people from will shit on me because I'm from like across the river.
Yeah.
But it's like it's all St. Louis.
Is your hometown like an uppity sounding like hometown?
No, it's St. Charles.
St. Charles. Yeah. Gated community.
No, not at all. A lot of deer hunting. You know.
Sure. It's classic
like
Midwest.
Regular middle class where it's like we weren't poor, but people were like, you go to Walmart how much? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of thing.
So I don't know your age, so I will say, do you remember when the St. Louis football team was around?
Of course.
Like
yeah.
Neil Lomax.
That was last year.
Oh no, that's true, the Rams. I'm saying Cardinals.
Oh, the Cardinals, no, that's before
way before your time. Yeah. Okay, so I say Neil Lomax
and you're
like
the year I was born.
Oh gotcha. I think. Okay. All right, that puts a lot in perspective. Yeah. So, yeah, so you lose your team. I mean, are you a sports guy?
Yeah, big time.
All right, so.
Now I just can't stand the NFL. All the problems yeah. that I had with it, like, that were, like, under the surface that I kind of, like, reasoned away. Now sure. they rip the team away. I'm like, it hurts people. It gives them yeah. concussions. You know, it's really immoral. Yeah. It's unethical.
There's other videos out there of domestic yeah. abuse. Yeah. yeah, sure.
All that stuff was just, now I'm just seething with rage. But I did watch, I watched the first game this year all the way through. This past weekend, I watched.
Oh wow! Okay.
The Chiefs game.
Ooh, good.
Which
yeah,
was a good one.
Yeah,
and I watched the end of the Green Bay and the Cowboys
also a great game.
Game.
The only two
it's
good
very
games.
Entertaining, but yeah. it's like you rip the team away, and then they pulled the Chargers, and they're going to move the Raiders. It's like completely unethical.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no. It's terrible.
Well, I obviously can relate as a Cleveland Browns guy.
Exactly.
I know the feeling.
And
I didn't watch.
Won, and then the Ravens won, and it's the same guys.
I know. So angry about it.
Gross.
It's disgusting. And yeah, I didn't watch sports for like 4 years. Like I couldn't tell you who won the World Series in 1999. Like you'd have to tell me. You'd honestly have to tell me.
Was it the Marlins?
99. I mean, I don't know. You
I
tell me.
Know. I thought you were quizzing me.
No. That'd be great. I just had you up here and I'm like, so.
I love trivia, man.
Batted second.
Yeah.
1995. Oh, that's good trivia. All right. What kind of trivia do you prefer?
Oh, I don't know. I have had a lot of concussions, so like I just have facts bouncing around, and every now and then I like surprise myself with something that I remember.
I feel like we're eerily similar. I played soccer my entire yeah. life, and I've had
hence the jersey.
Oh yeah, I'm rocking a jersey. Sorry,
yeah.
I mean.
Oh yeah, I guess this.
Hope
is
this doesn't offend
audio.
You. Yeah, it's just audio. Yeah, I'm wearing a German national team jersey.
Yeah.
Because U.S. has been terrible my entire life. You know, as a kid, and my dad's like, if you want to watch really good soccer,
yeah,
watch the German
right.
team. And you know, I was like, oh, wow, they're amazing. So anyway, yeah, I'm the same, man. A lot of concussions, but, you know, you become a radio guy because you know too much about everything and you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I don't even know what I know about. I know that sounds stupid.
That's actually worse.
Yeah.
Because you know, like, but you can control it.
I could guess.
Like, you know it's coming, you can feel it, and then you're like, I can harness this instead of just, ah!
Sure. Right. Until I get dementia, and I'm just shouting at some lady at the supermarket.
Does that run in your family? Like, is there
No, it doesn't, luckily. That's
might start with you?
Is that I hope not, but I don't know. My mom, I have no idea about my mom's side, because she was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have, like, general ideas, because, like, my grandparents, people who adopted her, they're all Lebanese, and okay. she's Lebanese, so we have like a general idea, but like no idea.
Damn
no
it.
So yeah,
so you can make it up.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to make up has dementia, you know.
Right,
that's not a great
yeah that's not,
not
good
a great
at all
one.
All right, let's tell the people listening that some fun facts about you. You've done some really cool things. You've written on a bunch of roasts.
Lots of roast jokes. Yeah. And I'm a pretty nice guy, but then...
You're a very nice guy. I've seen jokes. Your stand-up a whole bunch here in the city, a bunch of showcases. And I remember the one thing that always stood out in my head with your stuff was the human meat.
Like, oh,
you
yeah.
You bring up human meat in your act. And I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, my God. And until I knew your name, I had to refer to you as the human meat guy.
Oh, good.
And I hate that. I hate that because I was like, oh my God, I'm an ass. I just walk up and ask this guy what his name was.
Right.
Because I saw you in passing. I was like, oh no, but it's the human. I got to get to the bottom of this. Who's the human meat guy? And then eventually I saw you again. And I was like, oh my God, it's the human meat guy.
Oh, there he is. That's good.
Yeah. So that stuck, you know, that stuck.
That's good.
Would it take an X amount of money for you to try human meat? Would that be?
Oh, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, ever, right?
I don't do that, no. I think it's gross.
So if you were playing a professional sport, you know, I don't know if you believe in an entity, but said entity, you know, I don't know, you're playing crashes and then you had to eat somebody to survive, you would just die.
Oh, well,
you'd be like the first
to go.
That's
like an extreme case.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean like the rugby team that had to eat itself?
Alive, yeah.
Yeah. Man, I don't know.
It's sort of an ironic name to begin with, right? Alive. I don't know. It's like half of them are dead. I know.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah, do you think they decided, like half the people in the room were like, no, it should be
called
Alive. No, no,
they
should
have called it like Survive or something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, maybe that was Taken.
Taken's also Taken.
Taken's also Taken.
Taken's also Taken.
No, man, I don't want to eat a person.
Yeah, that would
That's why I was so mortified. That's what the joke's about.
Yeah,
that girl
being
like, don't you want to try it?
So that's a true story.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
it was really weird. This also, to get back to our texting thing.
Yeah.
And which is maybe how text is like really, you might be onto something where it's like more personal than everything. I texted with this girl for like, it was like a good while because I met her at a show and then we didn't get together for like 2 weeks or so. And like one of the first things that she said when we actually like sat down to dinner, and she was out of her mind clearly, but I didn't know this, right? But she was just like, you're so much different in person than you are in texting. I'm like, I mean, what does that even...
Yeah, what does that even mean?
Like, I move or, you know, I don't know. That's always stuck to me. I don't know why, but it's so weird.
That'd be great if you had one of those belt buckles that, you know, where the words go across.
I should have just texted her from across the table.
Yeah, okay.
That probably would have been better.
She would have understood you more.
I really don't know what that means still to this day. I was like, it baffles me and I don't understand. Like, I wish I had asked more questions. I mean, like, what does that, how, you know?
Yeah.
But
I was super anti-texting forever. Like
do you think you can break up the text?
No, man. Ugh. I'm a fucking human. Like I interact with people. I don't text it. Break up over text?
That's, I think you can do it.
I'll tell you what, if you break up over text, you were never truly together in the first place.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Why, man. Is that how you do it? Is
no,
that how
I,
you
no,
roll?
I haven't broken up with anybody.
Have you been broken up through text?
I got a text to call. I've been dumped through a text, sure. But I also think that's like kind of fine nowadays because like the entire, like we met and then we didn't call each other on the phone. We just texted. Then we text to make plans. The entire relationship exists on text, so we can't end it on text.
Yeah. No,
you know
no.
What I mean?
That's fair. Here's why I'm naive to this, because when I got together with my now wife.
Rotary phones or?
Yes. There were no, like I didn't have a cell phone yet. So I have never had that experience of that. Whatever you just described is a foreign concept to me of like. Said relationship.
Flirty texts and how long to wait and all that stuff. You really dodged the bullet.
I remember having to buy one of those pay-as-you-go phones and spending fucking hundreds of dollars talking to her.
Oof.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know
the
what?
Five
I better
cents
just
per message and all that.
It was brutal.
That's what I had to do in high school because, of course, like I was not paying for my own phone in high school. And
did you get a burner phone? Did you have like
but I mean, they were all burners back then. I had like 10 texts a month or something crazy, you know? So it's like if I'm texting with a girl, it's like I was super mysterious because I would have to like be very judicial with who gets one and what they're, I'm going to use. I'm not going to send like
I got
a
two texts from Ryan today. I got two.
Right. You just have to be, you know, they're all very long.
Yeah. I was going to say, was there a character limit or whatever?
Right.
Could write a novel.
That's why I
got
to just get their address and be a pen pal.
Well, speaking of writing, I mean, is it true you just finished a book, a novel?
I did, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. How long? Can you spell out any details or, you know, say what it's about? Or is this something that's been in the back burner for a while and now you're finally getting it done or what?
Well, I mean, my buddy, his girlfriend, she's great. She's a literary agent. So she just was like, we just bounced right around ideas and she does like middle grade books and stuff. And so I had like this adventure story that I had written that I wanted to like write as a screenplay. And I was just like, well, why don't I just take these beats and like kind of just change it and do it in first person. And that's kind of how it went.
That was it?
Yeah.
So you got the agent first.
Well, no, she's not like...
She's not hooking it up.
She's just a friend, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but we're working together in that capacity. So, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I guess.
No, but that's great, man. That's got to feel pretty good, you know?
Definitely, yeah. So I'm going to work on another one of those things and just try to get something to pop off with that. But that's pretty cool. And also, like... writing for like that age is pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know, you do stand up and I also, you know, I'm a human.
You do
male,
it all, man.
So
you do it all.
You do shit like that where you just like talk to strangers, drunk people in bars. But then for like kids that are reading in like middle school and stuff like that, it's like a cool age to write for because that's when they pay attention to what they're reading.
Right.
You know, so that's cool. That
that's
idea
awesome.
To where you can like
now did this idea come from your childhood, like that age period, like were you inspired
no,
by
was,
something from
I
that
read
age
a story about this teacher that like went missing. There was like an English teacher that went just missing in this small town and mm-hmm. no one knew where he
this
went.
Is a real life story.
Yeah,
huh?
This was a real okay. news article, and then that's what I based the story on.
Oh, wow.
It was like these kids trying to go find the guy.
Oh, cool.
But in the real life, like this guy, people don't know what happened.
Oh,
there
no
was, like, suspect of like his mental
Jesus. Status, I love how you're biting off some some family's gonna be like so pissed at you.
Who knows?
No, I'm just kidding.
Who knows?
I'm just
but
kidding.
I just thought that was fascinating. People lose their mind always fascinate me because I'm like, maybe, you know?
I feel like you're the type of guy that likes to walk into an elevator and face everyone.
Oh, absolutely not.
And,
no, I'm
no, you
afraid
don't like
of
to
everybody.
You are?
Yeah. Yeah. Big time social anxiety. I can't deal with that, man.
Gotcha.
I don't want to face anybody. I keep my so I think I'm pretty personal, like I'm good at like talking to
sure.
people when you're supposed to, mm-hmm. you know, but it takes a lot of
I was
energy.
Say you're doing a hell of a job right
thanks,
now,
thanks,
man. You're doing great.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
Thanks, man.
But I, you know,
this really was just a confidence booster I needed
that's
today
all,
when we
yeah,
set this.
That's how every interaction of mine
free therapy
turns into exactly that. Yeah, just compliments and like, no, man, you're doing okay. You know.
Well, you've done something that's really cool that on a personal level, I'm just a huge fan of and almost angry. I wasn't able to come up with this concept or whatever, but. This video thing you made is really fun and new and fresh.
Thank you.
And cool.
I hope
and
everybody checks it out.
Yeah.
Assuming my earwax story didn't make them turn off the podcast.
There's a skip. There's a skip button.
Yeah, 15 seconds.
All right. It's just talk about the origins of it and how you were able to do this and work this out, because it's something that's interactive on YouTube, which is where I watched it initially. And mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just fun because I grew up with the Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd be the guy who'd like read the first couple sentences of both sides and see where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you turn this into real life, and this is just a cool thing. Right?
Yeah. So basically what it is it's a Choose Your Own Adventure comedy. So everything is in real time where you click the choices and then it takes you to that next scene. And this is what we did was we had this really big, crazy thing at first, and then we had to like pare it down. So it's a choose your own adventure breakup where basically you just try to like save my relationship. It's kind of a video game. It's definitely a comedy. Mm-hmm. It's a short film. It's a lot of things at once. And so it's still trying to find its home, but I'm really proud of it. It's really cool. It was me and my buddy Randy Rubin who directed it, and he's such a good filmmaker. The guy's insane. And Will Winter and Ari Findling. I don't know if you run into those guys. Terrific stand-ups. And so basically the origin of this thing, I was working a job that I probably shouldn't have been having. It was like an executive assistant to this like CEO at this marketing company, and I was doing a very bad job. And they had these videos that this like software stuff from this thing called Interlude is the name of the company.
Okay.
And they make they have this software, this just choose your own adventure software, like they call it interactive videos, mm-hmm. right? You click it and it goes to this next thing, and there's like a little web that you build, and you can put the video clips in wherever to make your build out your map, if I'm making sense.
Absolutely.
So basically it was just being used for like ads, like you click like which ad's right for you, that basically. Mm-hmm. And like saving for your 401k, and those were the videos on the platform. And I was just like, okay, I mean, like you could just take the button from do you make under $100,000 a year and just put in like a real choice. And so investigated the software and then just got together with those guys, and we came up with how to execute that, and then we shot it having no idea if it would work, and plugged it into the software and kind of messed with it. And I mean, that's Sure. Kind of what it is. And I think it's funny. And also the cool thing that we stumbled on was to do like four alternate endings where, you know, the sketch ends in four different ways. We have four different kinds of humor that we could go. There's like an absurdist one. There's just like a one that's just like very joke heavy. There's one that's really physical comedy heavy. And so that's kind of the
just
the
fucking
cool thing
brilliant,
about
it, man.
So.
And I will say this, if you like bagels and schmear,
you're gonna, there's a lot of bagel talk.
Yeah, you're going to get a face full. You're going to get a face full. Yeah, I don't like, I'm not a big proponent of like ruining things, but I'm glad you described it that way so people could still discover it. And, you know,
yeah, I don't want to like tell them what it is, but it's a breakup. It's interactive. You try to save my relationship.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm really, really proud of it. So we're trying to just let people know that it exists now. This is a big thing. So I think around Valentine's Day, we'll see if we can pop it off.
Make it a huge push for it. Well, I'll support it on the laugh button, man. We'll make sure we get
it
in the front of the faces
of
the fans. Yeah, of course. Yeah, the first time I saw it, I think Becky sent it over to me and was like, oh my God, I gotta check
this. How great
is
Becky?
Oh, she's great. I love her. Yeah. She's the type of person.
Comedy gem.
Yeah, the type of person you just see and you're like, oh, yeah, I need to hug you first.
Yeah.
Okay, now we can talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a great person.
Yeah. And she was like, oh my God, you gotta check out this thing, you know, Ryan's doing. And I watched it and was just like blown away. So yeah, congrats on that, man.
Thanks, man.
Very cool idea. And then obviously the Ryan Beck show exists.
Yeah,
right?
my web show. Yeah, that was pretty cool to make. I liked, you know, I just have like that. The basically that is just the YouTube web series that I made. It's just a bunch of sketches all thrown together. Do some interviews. Do some man on the street stuff. It's just like there's so many things that I think are funny, and there's so many great people that I know, you know, and wanted to basically, it has my name on it, but like kind of like the goof that no one really understood about the Ryan Beck show is like, I'm like the smallest part of it. I just curate it. I write the things, I get the people, you know, I'll shoot some of it. And I usually everybody else is the one speaking in the sketch and I'm just like there like,
yeah, just know, hanging out.
Right.
Drinking.
Try to play on like the social anxiety that I feel where it's like, usually I don't really talk that much, but I just am like, how did this happened to me the other day. This was a sketch that I was like, this is not really a traditional sketch, but it's something that's like really funny. The dentist, I went to the dentist and swear to God, she was on hold with Bank of America the entire time while trying to check me out. And I'm like, this isn't right. You know what I mean? Like,
wait, did she have that speaking of Shark Tank, she have that device where it's like you
no,
slide
the phone?
Phone.
Oh, yeah, it stays. Yeah, like the TV hat or whatever. Right. The phone hat. No, she's just on speakerphone with Bank of America.
What the fuck?
I mean, that's not a situation you want. And she's like telling me to open my mouth and like, halt, you know, and like looking at my teeth and shit like that.
Well, not only that, but like your teeth have numbers, right? Like Dennis, like there's numbers assigned to your teeth, like back 22, you know, like,
oh, is that how they keep track of
what's
supposed to be what?
Yeah, they map it out, right? Like yeah. Like someone seating tables would, right?
Oh,
so geez. So she's,
I had no idea. Is that so, really what they do?
So yeah, so if they're talking about like numbers in Bank of America,
they were,
all
she was repeating a lot of numbers,
right? So then she, you know, Freudian slip and then works on the wrong tooth.
Yeah,
you know,
you also don't want to know that your dentist is in debt, you know. Because then they're just like, do I trust them when they tell me that I need some kind of thing, you know? But that was just so bizarre. So anyway, Ryan Beck shows sketches like that, you know, things that I've plucked from wherever.
Yeah. So, oh, that's funny, man.
But there's a lot of great people that did that. My buddy Kyle Ayers was like hugely crucial to making that pop off, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that too.
So what's it like now when you go back to your hometown? You perform, you ever go back there to perform? And
St. Louis Funny Bone has been so good to me.
Yeah.
I was so intimidated by that place when I was like 17 and like slinking inside to see if I could sneak past the guy taking IDs to do comedy or, you know, and, now I'll go back and, you know, thanks to like Greg Warren, like just to like kind of smooth that path off. I go back, I'll feature, stay with my cousin. It's great.
Cool.
Done some radio there. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just really cool to go back to the place that you were like, you know, it was like that was where you do comedy in St. Louis. And it was just like, I was so intimidated by the place. And now it's just like my favorite place.
What are some of the good shows you remember seeing there? Like when you were able to sneak in or even just like you made the conscious decision to do it.
Well, the open mic night was just packed to the gills in itself just to go watch that and be in awe. I mean, Greg Warren is just so funny. Mm-hmm. And Tommy Jonigan was getting started. And Nikki was getting started. This was like right before they did Last Comic Standing and all these other kinds of things. And I was just, I mean, there's some great guys. Gabe Kia is a Ohio guy. He's really funny. And there was just so many people out there, so that was like really where I was just like, okay, I think if I can do even like half as good as like a dude like John again, like, I'll feel great.
Yeah, I remember seeing him at, where was it, Montreal, when he performed with the Muppets. Do you know?
He did performed like, with the Muppets?
Yeah, like there was a Muppets
That's
gala.
That's a dream come true.
Yeah, there was a Muppets gala.
I'm a big Muppets guy.
I'm super huge. I had my animal socks on yesterday.
Dude, that's great.
But I was thinking, because Tommy's somebody I've known for a while, and I was just thinking while I was watching him, like, how fucking great. Like, just take a step back and like, this is happening.
Yeah.
And that's it. And afterwards, talking to him, he's like, dude, I can't wait. And then
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Perform with the Muppets. That's it, man. That's the dream right there.
It's like, most people say like, oh, you know, who would you love to be on a set with? A specific,
Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, the Muppets. That's
who.
Yeah.
You
know, when
Jason Segel wrote the new Muppets,
yeah.
I was like, that's a dude that's doing exactly what he should. And I couldn't have been more envious of such a thing.
Sure.
To be able to write, to be like the guy that like kind of tried to bring the Muppets back into like,
that first Muppet movie was great.
It was really good.
Second was and okay, too.
I like them all. I even like when they go to space with Jeffrey Tambor.
I tell you something? Underrated. The space one is underrated, man.
There's just great jokes.
Sure,
man.
Absolutely.
And they're all, you know, they're the Muppets. So
well, they
just
taught me what meta was, you know?
Right. Like, yeah, the first movie.
That first movie when they meet up with the band, they're like, why are you here? And he pulls out the script and he's like, well, it says we're supposed to run into you here. It's like, I'm like, this is the best.
So good.
Yeah.
So funny.
So are you a British humor guy too? Like, did you watch like
you know what? I never understood Monty Python. I just never understood.
Couldn't get it.
I mean, like, they're talking really fast, and I mean, it's funny that guy doesn't have any legs, you know?
Yeah.
And the
but
coconut
it's literally
thing
just
is
the
funny,
accent.
But it's like
accent, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
My dad was a big Gary Shandling guy, and like Don Rickles and Johnny Carson and those, you know, old people. So that's like where I was, you know, the Monty Python stuff. It never really got into my bones like that.
Yeah, that's okay. Know. It's fair. There's tons.
That's my guilty admission.
Yeah. That's your I've never seen Star Wars?
I guess, like, but I've seen it, you know?
Yeah. That's true.
Very that's true. Worse is the guy that's like seen Star Wars and is like, yeah, it's fine. I didn't see the second one. Like, that's the worst person.
I don't know if I know anybody that's like that.
I know people write them off, so I don't know them either.
Yeah. I know people who haven't seen them, and I get that. And like my wife, she's from Puerto Rico, and she never saw Star Wars. And then it was like, all right, well, we're going to just do this. Yeah. And then we did. And she's like, all right, I'm on board. And she's
great.
Seen everyone
exactly.
after that.
Right?
It's like, because they're fun.
Yes.
So she just gets it.
Nothing worse than people that are too cool for school.
Yeah.
If someone's not going to openly admit to you that they like the Muppets, then they're just a dick.
Right.
That's
right.
It.
And I feel like Weird Al Yankovic's finally getting his due. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's respecting him all of a sudden. It's like, oh, I've been such a huge fan. It's, what are you talking about, man? I can show you handwritten letters to Al where he's written me back and like all that stuff.
See, that's the connection.
Yeah,
I want to
do
that. Dude, people love handwritten letters.
I'm with you. When I was on the air at SiriusXM, anybody who won a prize, like off the air or whatever, we had to mail it out, I always wrote them a handwritten note. Always.
It's great.
And you know they're a fan for life, and they're going to communicate with you, and they're real people.
If anybody
I'm
hears
with
this,
you,
I'll write you a letter. Drop me a line on my website.
Yeah, go ahead. Plug all your stuff real quick.
I didn't want to stop.
No. We're not done. Just this is the midway.
IamRyanBeck.com. I am Ryan Beck on all platforms, basically.
Yeah.
But that's also where you can find the interactive video is IamRyanBeck.com, and it's also on WNTT.TV. So that's the
it's like
website
a big acronym
for I know, but it's called We Need to Talk is the name of the video. Mm-hmm. And so we built a website just for that. But it's easier to find it probably through my name. It's easier to and it'll be on the podcast listing.
So you technically I guess technically two first names, Ryan Beck. I don't know. Yeah.
It's Beck of
Sure. Beck Bennett, right? He's on SNL.
Oh yeah. You know what? I think that's the guy like the
Beck Hansen.
Who's
who
that?
Just goes by Beck. The musician?
Beck. Yeah.
Yeah,
is that
his last
first name?
Last name, Hansen. Yeah, Beck. Yeah, Beck Hansen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Bunch of Becks out there.
I've never identified as a two first names guy.
Yeah. So that means you never ran into problems with like customer service. You know,
no,
like, hey, last name first name last, and you're like Beck. And I said, no, last name first, and you had to go through that rigmarole.
No.
Never happened.
It was never like that. But I did, I've always experienced people who just refer to me as the one name, Ryan Beck.
Yeah, just Ryanbeck.
Ryanbeck.
Just one syllable. It's like oil. It's like one syllable. It's not really two. It's just how you pronounce it.
It's just one Ryanbeck. Thing. It's one thing. And Ryanbeck. That's always been fine, you know, for me. Then you'll get bros. They'll go with Beck, just Beck.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which is fine.
Yo,
Beck. And then, like, girls who make me immediately fall in love with them will be like, call me, like, Rye. And then I'm like, oh, geez, isn't that heartwarming? But most people, it's just Ryan Beck.
Doubles is your favorite entity, piece of bread, you know? Yeah. Nice. There, my favorite baseball player growing up is Ryan Sandberg.
Oh, yeah. I liked him, too, because we had similar names.
Similar names. Yeah. And for the longest time, you know, you're a little kid, and you're just like, oh, it's Ryan. And then someone had to explain to me, no, it's Ryan, mm-hmm. like R-Y-N-E.
Very disappointed yeah. when I found that out.
Right. Yeah, you must have been
But Nolan Ryan
gutted.
Was great.
Yeah, Nolan Ryan.
And I had a poster that I got out of a cereal box where he had, like, signed it, and it was, like, the Ryan Express, and he's, like, throwing a fastball.
Sure.
And,
Is Astros or Rangers?
This was Rangers the second. He's on there twice, I think. I don't even remember. I think it was a Rangers.
Okay.
He played so long.
Yeah, he did. So he played long. Forever.
He played forever. He's still playing.
5,000 people. Right, right. He's in some grapefruit league, and right. we're like, what the fuck?
The signature was on the poster, and this is so corny, but I modeled the way I write Ryan still today is how Nolan Ryan signs his name. So that's, and I'm a huge Cardinals fan, so it's probably like a mortal sin for me to have like a small affinity for Ryan Sandberg Cub, and then like sure. Nolan Ryan, who's just like tore up the entire league for 20 years.
Stole away.
25, I think.
God, it sounds weird to say, but I'm a huge Cubs fan because the first Little League team I ever played on was the Cubs.
That'll do it,
and
man.
I played second base, and that was Ryan Sandberg. It was the year he went from Philly to Chicago.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, don't be an asshole. You're an Indians fan. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm a Cubs fan. And I had family that lived by Wrigley Field, so they'd take me there as a kid, too. And I'm like, this is your fault, actually. Yeah. This isn't my fault. And but there's been a lot of exchanges between St. Louis and Chicago, like just personnel. Like everybody from Harry Carey to,
Harry Carey,
you know, specifically with players.
First,
yeah, people don't remember that, you know.
Right, they don't. Unfortunate. And he was terrific. I don't know. Everybody likes Harry Carey, but I think that stuff from your childhood really does like stick with you.
Absolutely.
For sure. Because like, this is like really stupid. I remember there was an election, Bill Clinton and Bob Dole, and they like in our elementary school, they had a mock election and they like taught us about the parties. And there's like this one, they have a donkey as their, this one.
Did they make you color in the states? Like
red,
blue,
like
you had to guess.
It was like part of the project built in, but the Republicans had elephants as their mascot and still do. And so for like, I don't know, at least 12 years, I thought I was like a big Republican because I liked elephants more than donkeys. And I don't think that, I really think that some people have still use that bar.
Absolutely.
Where they just blindly like, well, elephants are clearly more interesting animals than donkeys. Donkeys can't even, you know, breed. So.
Well, based on your tweets.
Or a mule. Is that a mule? I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. Who knows? But based on your tweets.
I can't stop. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not an elephant fan anymore, which is.
I know. It's not.
It's not a bad thing, man.
I'm saying the same stuff. But it's so debilitating. It's so crushing when it's like the guy that's going to be president doesn't think that vaccines work. I'm like, come on.
It is. It's the beyond clown town. It's like you can't, and you know, you're obviously a creative dude and you're a writer.
Yeah.
You can't even write anything anymore. That's like, you can't punch up. It's hard to punch up. You know what I mean? Because it's already so ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, SNL did a great job with that cold open this past week.
Yeah.
In the whole pissing scale.
They
nailed it.
Whole task ahead, but it's also like the thing that I keep seeing with these SNL openings and stuff is that it's like Alec Baldwin can't help but be more likable and human,
right?
You know, like it's almost impossible to do a caricature, so it's like, what a task they have.
Yeah,
you know, I don't envy them. That's so difficult, and the whole nation and that guy is watching, so it's like,
yeah. Oh, it's so weird. He's reacting,
man. It's so crazy, but he's so much more despicable than any caricature could be, in my opinion. But that's also one that's not totally shared, and so
right,
whatever. I can't even it's, this will just turn into complete despair.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I don't want to go down that path. We'll move on to something else. So so with the Rams leaving now, are you gonna have to settle for St. Louis Blues, or are you gonna
I'm a big hockey fan anyway.
Okay, cool.
I went to several games that they lost this year, and every game I've been to they've lost. And
I feel like they haven't been good. Yeah, I feel like they haven't been good since they traded Brendan Shanahan for Chris Pronger.
Oh, come on. Chris Pronger was a great pickup.
Harper Whalers were my team, and when they made that trade, I knew it was the end of the franchise. For the Whalers. I was like, that's the final straw, man. This kid's 18, he's gonna be fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
And he was.
And Shanahan
were shocked though, because Brendan Shanahan was like a fan favorite.
Sure.
Know? And I mean a great player.
And he didn't want to go to Hartford, and they got rid of him right after that. Exactly. It was like so stupid, man.
Yeah. But I'm a big time Blues fan. But
So you got to see Brett Hall play? Did you ever get to see him?
Oh yeah, plenty of times, and Gretzky, and like when he came through St. Louis, and Curtis Joseph was my guy.
Joseph.
Yeah, big time goalie. You know, man. A fun...
He was a Maple Leaf for a hot minute, too,
yeah,
I think.
Was great. He played in he skipped the Blues. They did the Winter Classic, you know, they do the alumni game, which is just like the Blues alumni is so sick for never winning a Stanley Cup. It's like some of the best players ever
to play
in the
hockey.
NHL, yep. And they just all didn't put it together and win a cup. They all had to go elsewhere, including. So the Blues.
It's like 32 Don Mattinglys.
Yes.
Like, come and play.
This is what's so sad about the Blues. Their last, like, so the four or five winningest coaches in NHL history all coached and started with the Blues and then had to go elsewhere to get their Stanley Cups.
Right, and they all have the same last name, Sutter, right?
Yes, it's just so.
Like, you're right, Scotty Bowman, totally, man.
Who's the guy that started, I forgot, anyway. It starts with an A. I'm not going to remember that. I could pick a multiple choice.
Favorite hockey name of all time?
Oh, Dino Ciccarelli.
Yeah, it's a good one. Ciccarelli. Well, I haven't heard that. I got to go Zarly Zalapsky.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one, too.
Who's,
and Per Svartvadit for the Atlanta Thrashers their original season. Yeah, Per Svartvadit. What a
Keith
great
Kachuk name. Is a good one.
Keith Kachuk.
The hidden T there.
Sure. An American born, of all things.
Yeah. Keith Kachuk, also big time blue.
Yeah.
Keith Kachuk is a good one. Yeah.
My buddy always wanted to be Keith Kachuk. Like when we play, you know, in the road in front of our house in Ohio, it's like we always had the one guy. I was like, I'm Kachuk, man.
When you guys would play like football or baseball or whatever, would you like go through the lineup and do the different batting stances?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the best.
I mean, Julio Franco for the Indians.
All the crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's like the best part about being a kid is that you can just like. Now, if I started to like try to stand like Chuck Knoblauch or something, people would be like, stop holding the bat that way, you moron, you know?
Well, I don't know. There's probably some weird league in Williamsburg that's, you know.
You have to do
that.
You have to do it. We're getting soft, man.
Yeah, we are. We're getting soft. So what else is happening for you? So you're in town. Well, you know, you're about to leave town. You're heading
to leave town
to time
go
of this taping. Oh, cool.
In Indianapolis.
Yep.
I love them. They're very good to
Gonna rock some Bob and Tom.
I am.
Action.
I'm going to do Bob and Tom.
Yeah, nice.
That'll be pretty cool. My buddy Josh Arnold, another St. Louis guy, fantastic comic, is hosting that now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So
St.
Louis is doing pretty well for itself. So we get that Stanley Cup, man.
You guys have infiltrated.
Right. Yeah.
Even if it's a rental, you're going to get
it. It's in the ether.
You're going to get it. Speaking of Indianapolis, the Colts punter, Pat McAfee, stand-up comic.
Is he really?
Yeah, he released an hour stand-up special, man, which is nuts.
Punters are like the funniest guys on the NFL teams, it seems.
John Ryan married Sarah Kalana.
Yeah. He's Seahawks.
He's a goofball, yeah.
And then Johnny Hecker is the Rams guy who was very funny on Twitter, but I've completely washed my life of Rams. In the last
year.
Done.
I can't believe we've already talked about this much. I apologize.
Punters or the Rams?
No, the Rams.
It's just, you know.
Did you go out and try to buy a whole bunch of gear before it's like? Did you go out and be like,
everything's
gonna be 100% off, and you're just gonna go get it?
My buddy Kyle Ayers, he bought me a birthday gift. I got it 2 days before they just abruptly moved the team, and it was a 1999 Rams sweatshirt of the Super Bowl, and it says St. Louis Rams on it in the Super Bowl, so it's like I can still wear it because it's like the LA Rams never won a Super Bowl.
Well, now it's going to be worth a lot of money. That was the greatest show on turf, right?
It was great. Isaac Bruce, Kurt Warner, these guys.
Isaac Bruce.
Such an exciting
Torrey Holt,
time.
I think, was on that team.
Yeah, Torrey Holt was rookie year when they won.
Yeah. So great.
So, of course, I'm bitter. And I have so many problems with the NFL now.
Are you allowed to be bitter if your team came from somewhere else?
I think so.
Because it did come from...
A market that doesn't want them, that they didn't fill the stadium?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, did you guys fill the stadium?
Yeah.
I heard that's why they wanted to get out of there.
Look, I'll send you an article, bud.
Okay. All right. I will say this.
The TV ratings were like 3 times worse than they were in St. Louis this year. Swear. Insane.
Yeah.
Stan Kroenke's not.
I was just going to bring up Stan Kroenke because I'm frustrated with
him.
Total
nightmare.
Yeah.
He shouldn't even be allowed to own the Rams anyway because of all the conflict that he had. You can't own professional sports across different cities, and he just pretends that it's his wife's.
Not only that, but international because he owns my favorite soccer club team, Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy with that. No, not cool with that. And he owns the Avalanche too, right?
He'll move to New Delhi or something.
Wait, how many teams has he moved? He moved the Avalanche, right? Or the
did he?
Yeah, he moved who was that? Winnipeg that went to
Winnipeg. What did he buy them in Winnipeg?
I don't know. No, it was Quebec. I'm sorry. Quebec Nordiques moved to Colorado. And then won two Stanley Cups. Same fucking deal. Mm-hmm. They won two Stanley Cups in a row.
Yeah.
Ray Bourque, man.
Well, I mean,
that guy did it for the money.
Cardinals first.
Yeah.
The football Cardinals, and then they moved the Rams. But, I mean, I think 20 years, and also when you – here's the thing that I have a problem with, and I think this is like an overall trend and why I'm probably a donkey now, is so the NFL is like, here are the rules to keep your team. Come up with a stadium plan, come up with how it would get funded, and make an effort to keep your team. And the Missouri and the city of St. Louis came up with a plan. The governor was involved. They had a whole host of – they did every single thing that the NFL says to keep your team, and they let the guy still pull them.
And they had a money offer on the table too, right? It was like $400 billion
or $400 million.
Yeah, $400 million is what it was,
that they were going to come up with, which I don't think that cities should pay for the stadiums for these teams.
I always disagree with that too. Yeah.
But then he ripped it and moved it to LA for a plan that they had on prospectus that was like they had two plans and they're like one of these will work and neither of them is going to come to fruition like the way that they pitched it. And now they're
going to be
the
playing
Chargers
at the soccer stadium.
They're playing in like
LA Galaxy soccer stadium.
Yeah, which is just like a joke because that's not even close to the number of seats that you would expect from an NFL.
Yeah, it's like 20,000.
Yeah, which is like the Blues get more than 20,000.
Remember when we saw Jared Goff?
Right.
For nothing.
But anyway, check out that interactive video I made.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. We went off on a tangent. That's totally my fault.
I'll complain about anything. Don't you just toss them up.
Well, Ryan, you're a very funny guy, man. Every time I've seen you perform, you crush. And if people happen to not know who you are for whatever reason, that you definitely,
don't.
Well, but you win them over is what I'm trying to say. Right. You know, so like even me, first time I saw you, I was like, oh my god, how do I not know this guy?
Yeah.
And you know, I've seen you several times after that, and it's been. It's good every time, man. You're solid. And
thanks,
the
man.
Fact
that's
that you
really
have all
nice
these
to
avenues
hear.
To go down to, like writing and acting, obviously, and you know, just doing traditional stand-up, it's good. You got a lot going on.
I really appreciate it, man. It's like it's always good to hear because it's just anybody that's – and you understand this, I'm sure, is just like you're in the entertainment field. You're – including Becky, you're just riddled with self-doubt at all times.
Oh, dude.
No matter what.
I wake up every day.
Or interviewer, writer, comic, like you're just – every day, like, what is this? What it was? Yeah, and then you tweet about the elephants. So,
is that what we're gonna call him now? The elephants?
Well, I mean, Kevin
he's literally gonna be the elephant in the room. Like, he's going.
Oh, that's good. I'll retweet that one later.
All right. We'll go tandem on that one.
Yeah.
You tweet out the first half. I'll tweet out the second half. It'll be some new interactive thing we do on Twitter.
That's a great, you know,
you
let's
click
change
on it.
The form, dude.
Yeah, when you retweet quote, it opens up this, it reveals the second half of the tweet. Well, this was good to hang with you, man. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me on.
And we'll do this again, and it'll be less like getting to know you and more like,
anytime.
We'll get nerdy about
stuff. I had a great
time.
Thanks for having
cool.
me.
Cool. Cheers, man.
And there you have it. The interview with Ryan Beck.
Yeah.
Ooh, love that guy. So keep an eye out for Ryan Beck. Definitely follow him. The guy, I expect really good things from this guy's career. So, like, definitely keep an eye on Ryan Beck. I think he's a name that people will be talking about in the very near future, too. So, a few other quick things. Sarah Silverman, Roy Wood Jr., Trevor Noah, Kurt Brownower. All these people, what do they have in common, Bram?
They're all very funny.
they are. The other thing they have in common is they're all releasing new stand-up specials in the next couple weeks. Sarah Silverman's coming out on Netflix, as is Trevor Noah. Kurt Brownower's coming out on Comedy Central, as is Roy Wood Jr. So, like, the next couple weeks for comedy are great. Just these four names alone, and there's more comedy coming up, but just those four names alone, really, really looking good for the next couple weeks of stand-up comedy. So, follow us on laughbutton.com. Go to laughbutton.com and you can read all the information and see some previews. Follow us on the socials anywhere you can type in at the Laugh Button. Check out our merch. We got an events page up, a brand new events page, where you can kind of see what contests we're running, what shows are going on around the country, all that kind of good stuff. You can follow me personally at I am Kleinschmidt. Bram, how can people kind of track you down, see what you're doing?
On the Twitter, Bramfilter.
Yeah.
On the Instagram, Bramfetamine.
Yeah.
Like amphetamine, but with a burr in front of it. And metalinsider.net for all your music, metal, hard rock, news, information, gossip, yeah, tour dates, et cetera.
Metal Insider is good to read, and it's a little, the name is a little misjudging because you do a lot
there's
of
hard rock in there,
but it's also you doing a lot of analysis about the music industry. You talk about like what's going on, trends, all that kind of stuff.
Sure, like so if something stupid happens, like Kid Rock's name is thrown around for Senate in Michigan, I'll write about it because it's funny.
Yeah, but I also, but I think the
then again, people thought that President Reagan and President Trump was funny at one point.
This is very true. But so. I think the other thing about what you do very well is like you kind of like help frame it beyond just you frame it within the metal framework, but you also talk about how like music industry changes and streaming and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I
kind of
want
a lot of industry coverage.
Yeah, I want someone that doesn't even care that much about metal to be able to read it and be entertained. That's what I go for.
And I think that's actually I think you do a very good job of doing.
Thanks,
it.
Matt. I enjoy the laugh button as well.
Hey,
I even appear on its podcast from time to time.
you do. So that'll be it for the Laugh Button podcast. I'm Matt Kleinschmidt. He's Bram Teitelman. We'll catch you later.
See you.